I'm sitting here at 9:45 in the morning on a treadmill, feeling extremely comfortable about the trajectory of the company going forward. Eisner told the New York Times during the same period that Ovitz was a talented, strong, and effective executive. With Eisner's public comments and the reality of his relationship with Ovitz glaringly at odds, a glimmer of a solution occurred to Eisner. Ovitz was still trying to salvage a deal with Sony to merge the record division, and in late September he had arranged a meeting in New York with Hideki, Norio Ohga, and Eisner himself. During the elaborate 3-hour dinner, Ohga went on at length about what a good relationship Ovitz had with Sony and how much he respected him. "You're so lucky to have him," Ohga told Eisner. "Good managers are hard to find." Eisner grew increasingly restless and looked visibly relieved when the dinner finally ended. Afterward, he lit into Ovitz. "It took you 3 hours to get to 2 minutes of real negotiation," he complained. "Why couldn't you get to the point?" Ovitz tried to explain that patience was essential when negotiating with the Japanese. "That's bullshit," Eisner said. Still, he seemed impressed. "They really liked you. I bet they'd hire you." Eisner seemed taken with this idea. "Why not?" he continued. "You could run their operations here in the U.S. It'd be great for you." It was obvious to Ovitz that Eisner wanted to get rid of him, and this provided a face-saving excuse. "I'll think about it," Ovitz said reluctantly. At the end of September, the Disney board was scheduled to meet at Walt Disney World, and Eisner decided the time was at hand to reveal that he was planning to get rid of Ovitz. As usual, Eisner told some directors of his decision in advance, but not others. Eisner poured out his feelings in a long letter addressed to Irwin Russell and Ray Watson, his closest confidants on the board, along with Stanley Gold. "Ovitz," he wrote, "seems manic and for many reasons is ill-equipped to lead the Walt Disney Company. If I should be hit by a truck, the company simply cannot make him CEO. It would be catastrophic. I hate saying that, but his strength of personality together with his erratic behavior and pathological problems, and I hate saying that, is a mixture leading to disaster for this company. You, Irwin, and Sid Bass know this already and have many examples. Stanley Gold is aware of the problem, but he does not know the boring details. His choice was ill-founded, unfortunately," Eisner continued. "The mistake was mine, totally and completely. Maybe I suspected it at the time, but my desire to bring in a strong number two executive, my desire to satisfy my wife's honest request that I get help, my desire to appear not threatened by strong executives, my desire to seek experienced help to run ABC, and my desire to do what was right for Disney, all clouded my basic instinct that I was making a mistake. Michael does not have the trust of anybody. I do not trust him. None of the people he works with feels comfortable with his directness and honesty. He cannot tell the truth. He says whatever comes to his mind, no matter what the reality. Michael Ovitz has not taken any workload off me. He is work. It is necessary to check on everything he does. I had hoped it was me, that I was dealing badly with some kind of Shakespearean threat from inside the company. It is not. I am sure I am not without political anxiety, but